Last time I said, can you hear me? And you said yes. Today I would just say, can you see me? I'm only 4 feet ten. I'm shrinking. This really, you know, this sounds, when you have to give your bio, it sounds something really usually great, and you really know inside you're not. Since we're just a family, I know I can personally confide in you, and you're not going to tell a single one outside of this group today. Say, amen! Okay, it's sealed inside. Here it says, just to get us started, it says I had a group of Taiwanese women who came and asked me to be their teacher that day because they were from all denominations, Quakers, Mennonites, a few Presbyterian, Methodists, non-denominational, Covenant. They had never had anything like that, working together. And their pastors, you know, were kind of suspicious of what we would be doing in that group and if we were going to be teaching heresy and whatever. And so they came to my home and said, we have been praying, Mrs. Swanson. We have been praying for, and we keep hearing your name. We want to gather together. They said, we have over 400 gods in the temples here in Taiwan that we can go into and we could worship. But we know there's only one living God. And we know that he is the lover of our lives. He gave his life. We don't have to be afraid of him. Every religion and every God, you have to fear them. But they said, we don't have to fear our God. These women, the truth is, I went there as a missionary. But they taught me. They were my teachers as the Holy Spirit dwelt within them. In their hearts. And they said, so we keep hearing your name, Mrs. Swanson. Would you come and help us get established? Would you be our teacher? And I just sat there. And I thought, how? And then I had just sipped some tea. Good old Taiwan tea with green leaves. And I had a white shirt on. And when I heard that, I choked, and, you know, and all the tea leaves and everything went all over the front of me. Yes, yes, and I'm dabbing it off, and I said, I think you better go home and pray again. I think you're hearing the wrong name. Talk about obedience. And they went home, and they prayed again. And they came back again, and I apologized to them. And I said, yes, it is true, because I went before the Lord. As soon as they got out that door, boy, I ran into my prayer closet. I got down on my knees, and I had a list of names. And I waved it in the air, and I said, Lord, here, I'll let you pick another name. Is that obedience? Is that be still and know that I am God? Is that being still? And he just said, they heard right. We had everything we needed as we grew. The Holy Spirit used those women to be a light that spread around the nation. It's recorded, especially in the Taiwan Presbyterian Church. It's recorded and written down. He, for every promise he gives us, For every promise, if we study it carefully, we'll see that he has a condition. He gives us the promise, and then he has the condition. He has the requirements for us to cooperate with him to fulfill the promise he has given us. God is not a God that lies. He is the only one in all of the universe which he created. He is the only one that when he says something, he can do it. He will do it. No human being on earth can say that. He doesn't change his mind and say, well, I spoke that out in haste. I don't really remember that. I don't really mean that. I hadn't had my coffee yet that morning. He is steadfast. He is faithful. He showed us a love that none of us can ever, ever match. The cross. Right to the end. The cross. Could we have on it, you hear him, he's calling your name, could we have the scripture verse for Jeremiah 29? Let's read it out loud all together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. He's not talking about money prospering. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You see the requirements to fulfill the plan he has for us, to protect us, to let us not get frustrated and discouraged, give us hope, and to not see all the blackness in the future, but see the future in the light. And even when we don't see the future, we know that he's here with us right now, as he's been in the past, and he's going to be in our future. The future for each one of us here today is in him. Not in us, not in us, but in him. But then here's your requirements. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. How interesting. I will listen to you. And he says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. On the one hand, he's telling us to talk. On the other hand, he's telling us to be still. And that's was so wonderful to prepare this, because I learned something I really wasn't aware of. I'm giving this message because I have not always lived in America. I was born in America, but I left America shortly after I was 25, 26 years of age. I left with a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and my beloved husband, Alan Swanson. And I had said to him when I was in high school, and he was at the University of Minnesota majoring in music, ooh, can he play the trumpet? And I was so enamored with this guy that plays the trumpet, but I looked in his eyes and I thought, uh-oh, I gotta be honest, I gotta be truthful, I gotta be above board. So I said to him, look, God called me to be a missionary to China. China was still open then, or no, it was closing down. I said, and therefore, I never played with dolls when I was little. I climbed trees. I played Tarzan. I had my horse. I'd whistle through my teeth on the limb of the tree, and I would jump down on him, and he always stepped forward. sneaky horse. And I landed on the ground, and I got my nose, it's never straight, busted playing tackle football with the boys because I was small and a fast runner, and I could go right between Lenny Longlegs. That's what I called him. He called me, I don't know if you know in the English vocabulary, runt, what a runt is, R-U-N-T. He called me Running Runt Nose. And I called him Lenny Longlegs, and he'd pass me the ball, and I would go through his legs, and I would help make a tackle. And so I was very popular in the neighborhood, not with the girls, but with the boys. And I said to my fellow here that was looking at me, I said, look, I am never going to get married. I'm not going to have babies and all that stuff. God has called me to be a missionary to China. And I landed 11 years later, married, with three children. See, obedience and trust is what he asks of us. Even today, obedience and trust is what pleases his heart. Obedience and trust is what helps still the mind, the soul, the emotions within. And that's what I was doing. And that's what I'm concerned about today, in this day and the changing of the society. People who are constantly listening, I don't even know the names of these, their iPod, their smartphone, their cell phone, the computer. How do you quiet down when it's still buzzing? I am concerned about the society and the constant noise running through our minds, through our brains. He says, my voice is a still small voice. He says, be still and know that I am God. Facebook, we're so concerned about making friends out there. But we have a friend that will be faithful to us to the end. You cannot have any friendship without having fellowship. You cannot have a friendship without a relationship. Friendship, relationship is built together. You also have to have some form of conversation. When he says be still, he's not talking about the stillness that comes into our ears. He wants stillness in our mind. He wants stillness in our soul. He wants stillness in our body. How sad he must feel when we are constantly putting him on hold because we're checking out something on our, I don't even know what you call all of these gadgets that you guys, some of you, are playing with right now. iPod, cell phone, smartphone, huh? How do we quiet it down? I wrote down, well, you know something? I was listening on the radio a couple days ago on public radio, and there was a psychiatrist talking, and he was talking about drugs and alcohol and the addiction. The addiction, he says, in an addiction, when you can't leave something, when you have to, you can't stop something, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, where it's all smartphone, whether it's Facebook, whatever, when you can't stop, you know what the first thing you do? You deny it. You deny that you don't have a problem stopping it. You deny that you don't have the freedom over yourself that you want others to think you have. Be still and know that I am God. I have the plans for you, but you won't listen. I can't show you. My plans I can bring to you and guide you safely through it. So what are you talking so much with other people out there when they don't have any power at all in themselves to help solve your problems? That's what he's saying. How sad he feels. How sad he feels. It's called an addiction. That's what we're seeing in the society today with the young people, with the moms who take their kids out to the park to play, and they're just sitting there. They're not playing with their children. They're on their cell phone. How is he to communicate with us? More important than that. Do you know the first commandment? Thou shalt, say it out loud with me, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all your mind. That is, Jesus said the same. Thou shalt love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. He is first. He says, I do not share my throne with other gods. I'm paraphrasing it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Where are you putting your time, your focus, your money, your energy? And never spend any time with him in developing a fellowship, a relationship, a friendship. You can't put him on hold. It's not that he moves on. He doesn't. He's there. He says what no human being, no parent, no one can say to you. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He says, you close your eyes at night and go to sleep, because I don't close my eyes. He says, if you hear the voice calling your name, I'm behind you. I'm in front of you in your future. I'm under you. If your foot slips, you won't stumble. I'll be there to hold you. What love! And yet, we shrug our shoulders and say, tomorrow, Lord. I'm really busy right now. Tomorrow. I wrote down a couple days ago just some things that a relationship with him can do. What our Heavenly Father can do that no one else in the heavens or the earth can do. He gives us, as we go to him in prayer, that's really what I'm talking about, prayer. He gives to us a sense of calmness. He listens to us, and he forgives us. He can give to us a sense of confidence, trusting the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. That day, I had to trust the Lord with the women coming, that he was going to direct my path. Prayer prevents us from making wrong decisions. I know the plan I have for you, saith the Lord, and it's not a plan of evil. In quietness, as we are still, like he says, he helps us to wipe away all of that fretting and that fussing. We tell him we're really busy, but we need to ask ourselves in that quiet time, is our busyness fruitful, or is it just that, a lot of busyness. And most important of all, God gives us, if we will draw apart with him, his point of view. Not Facebook doesn't give us his point of view. None of that stuff does. He alone is eternal. He alone can give us life. He alone can give us the rest of the afternoon, the rest of the evening, and tomorrow. They can't. They're just voicing their opinions. And we want their opinions. We want their approval. We want to make sure that we're doing the job right on the job, because unemployment's high and I don't want to be one of the numbers. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't stop and give him time. We don't listen to him. If you decide to go to him, if you decide to start having your prayer time, I just want to give you a few checks to watch out how you're communicating. I won't say that. Sometimes, I'll say it this way, sometimes in a relationship, a family relationship with husband and wife, or with children and parents, or with adult children with their adult parents, with grandmas. I got these educated kids now, 5 of them. Everybody is giving me advice. The one thing about the Lord, when you go to him in prayer, you can unload. You can share everything, and he keeps a secret. And one thing about the Lord, when you go to him in prayer, he doesn't interrupt your sentences. He doesn't say, "Now, where did you come up with a crazy idea like that?" He doesn't put you down. He just listens and listens and encourages you. Check it when you're talking to him that you don't do all the talking and say, "Oh my gosh, I got to get out of here. I'm late," and jump up and leave and say, "If I have time, I'll see you tomorrow." That's not good conversation. That's not good communication. That's not love relationship. He said, "Be still." In this day and age, I hear him moving stronger and stronger. That's why I'm giving the message today. He wants us to quiet down, not out here, the stillness, but in here. Jesus said it this way: "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and answers, gets up." See? He's knocking. Our responsibility, if they get up and open the door, if they take a hold of the doorknob and open it, then I'll come in. This is what he's stressing so much to us, family of God. He wants to come in a way that you've never given him time to come into before. He says, "And if I come in, I'll sit down and I'll have fellowship with you." He's calling your name. Do you hear him? That's the title that he gave me. He's calling your name. Do you hear him? He's not saying that because he doesn't know your name. While he was yet on the cross, before you were born, your name was on his mind. He's calling your name today. He's raising up people today with a clarity, with a calmness, with a strength that comes from the Holy Spirit within you. He will do more for you than you could ever do in yourself. He will open doors for you of opportunity that you could not do in yourself. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know it. I'm not lying. And if he has said he will do it, he will, if you come and ask him. He's calling your name. You say, that's impossible. Millions and millions and billions of people. My name? I'm going to ask you, to take and open up your hands and look down. Just look down at the palms of your hands like this. This is how we're going to close. And this is what the word of the Lord says to us today. This is found in Isaiah 45, I think it's 15 and 16, I'm not sure. But this is what he's saying to us. Can a mother forget the child that was born from her? The word of the Lord says, it is possible. It is possible that she can. But thus saith the Lord, I will never forget or abandon you, for your name is engraved on the palms of my hand. The Lord says, your name is engraved on the palms of my hand. And when you look down at your hands, you don't have to give him your name. It's already there in Almighty God's hands. Would you then, quietly in prayer, just say, Lord, I give you my heart today. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear when you call me. I want to be obedient and trust you more than I do people in my life. Dear Jesus, I love you.